Thank you for joining me today. This is the Bold Lines podcast, and I am the host, Travis Thompson. Today, we're going to be talking about nature versus nurture in our behavior. Let me give you a short overview of the difference between nature versus nurture for those that are unaware. Nature in human beings consists of the ways that we are born, what is baked into our DNA, what is inherent about us, something that can be objectively understood. Nurture, on the other hand, are the ways that we develop over time through outside support or interference. Now, the debate between nature versus nurture has been going on for a very long time. The reason that it's been up in the air is many psychologists, sociologists, and philosophers alike have wondered how much of our behavior is based in the way we are born and how much of it is based in how we are nurtured or supported or held back over time. Now, many psychologists have been on both sides of this. For those in favor of mostly or entirely nature as an explanation for human behavior, they believe that the way we are born dictates certain steps and patterns that we have. Those on the nurture argument say that human beings, as they're born, are blank slates. The term is tabula rasa for anyone interested. But over time, we've started to understand that it's not really just one or the other. It is usually a combination of the two. So now that we understand some basic ideas of nature versus nurture, what do we do with it and how do we make sense of it? The modern understanding of nature is to look into our biology and our neurological wiring at birth and see how that plays out. If someone is born with a deficiency in brain wiring, that's not something that can necessarily be nurtured into health. Likewise, in the body, if someone is born with a malformed leg, there's no amount of support that will make that leg grow back. Now, obviously, legs are easier to see than inside the brain, so we are much more giving in terms of nature in that way. Nurture, on the other hand, when we see how people are given development over time, how they're cared for, how they're traumatized, or how they're taught, this often molds the big things and the small things in life. A great example of this is if you have children that are adopted internationally. Now, their nature is something they were born with, but their nurture can happen on an entirely different continent. And you can have someone who appears to be ethnically very different than their peers sound exactly like them in their speech. Speech is a great example of nurture, how someone connects with others. Their facial expressions, their inferences and innuendos, all of that is given to them. It's not something that's within their brain in and of itself. But there can be some arguments around where nature and nurture start to conflict. And this is where the main part of this podcast is going to come today, because I have worked with many clients, and I think most people can see in public life today that there's been a little bit of overlap between nature and nurture. Specifically, working in therapy, I see the nature argument a lot. Many people will come into my office and say, well, I was just born this way. Now, before anybody takes this in an overtly political route, I'm usually talking about things like anger or insecurity. Here's the thing. No one's born angry. That is not a nature thing. No one is born more insecure than anyone else, technically speaking. Yes, babies are insecure because they have to rely on other people. I get that. But too many times have I heard clients and individuals tell me, well, it's just how I'm wired. or maybe they're a little more sophisticated than that. They say, well, I'm just like my father, or I'm just like my mother, or that's just the way our family is. We all seem to be that way. But let me offer you a little bit of criticism in this and see if it'll make sense. Just because something has existed for as long as you can remember, that does not mean that it's nature. Now, for those of you that haven't heard that before, let me expand just a little bit. If you can only remember a time when you were angry, that doesn't mean you were born that way. Or let's say someone has a concern of their self-identity that they've always had, quote unquote. Just because that's as long as they can remember it doesn't mean they were born that way. We just make that assumption because it's a whole lot easier and it seems a little more obvious, but I'm telling you, it's wrong. So for the clients who come in and tell me, well, this is exactly how it is, usually my follow-up question is, well, how do you know? And they'll follow up with, well, we've seen it in the family or my parents told me. And I just respond with, how does that happen? How does a baby become born and immediately become an alcoholic? Because either you're a determinist or you're a cynic, and I'm not either. So let's get that excuse out of the way. Just because something has gone on for as long as you can remember doesn't mean it's nature. Now, why are so many people obsessed with making a nature argument out of things? Well, honestly, it's used as an excuse. What can they do about the way they were born? As if they could compare their sense of anger, impulsivity, or addiction to someone who was born with crippled legs. You're not going to criticize someone who has defective legs and say, wow, you should really walk. You should really work on yourself. No, of course not. We're going to have empathy. We're going to ask them to do what they need to do, but we're not going to have this expectation that all of a sudden they're going to be able to change things. So quite honestly, I think people co-opt that idea into their own behavior as an excuse. How can you argue with someone who was born that way? If you heard a little bit of sass in my voice, it was there, 100%. I'll cop to it right now. Okay. Now, do we see some of this argument in the public sphere? Oh, yes. We see it all the time. Just to touch on the political thing for just a second, people will say, I was born this way. What do you mean? How would you know? Again, just because it's happened for as long as you can remember doesn't mean that it's actually born into you. That's just not the case. There's no neuroscience that supports it. It's only philosophy. And if we're arguing philosophy, I can do that all day. And you don't get to claim an air of superiority because it is philosophy. But let's also take this in terms of personal accountability. Well, I've always been lazy, or I've always struggled with emotions and connections. So what does that get you by saying that? Do you want me as your therapist or just as a being in the general population to feel bad for you because you refuse to take accountability? I'm sorry, you're not born irresponsible. You're not born angry, and you're not born in a whole bunch of other ways that people want to identify. It's an excuse in most instances. Now, let's move over to the nurturing thing. So in nurture, we can't always make big changes, but we certainly can make highly impactful ones. Some things can't be fixed by nurturing. I mentioned physical disabilities before, but let's take something like autism. Autism, as far as we understand it today, is a neurological disorder. It changes the way that people's brains wire and interact. You can't love someone out of it, just like you can't harm someone into it. So if you can't love someone out of something like autism, then the nurture is how you deal with that thing itself. And in the nurturing, we can significantly impact one another, and especially our children, in ways that we might not entirely realize. Because nurture, although it sounds like the positive word, and a lot of times it is, it's also just how we socially influence one another. So if I were to look at my children give them the support that they need. When they're angry, I sit down with them and help them process it. That nurtures their understanding of emotions. But let's say that they're overwhelmed and I'm continually dismissive. That also nurtures their sense of identity and belonging. If I were to take that disconnected approach, maybe my children would say, well, we just aren't close in this family. It's just how we are. Bullcrap. That, I'm sorry, that's not nature. That's nurture. But here's the thing. Some people will go into nurture so much that they forget objective reality. And now let's take this in the therapy part. Maybe for some people who have been in therapy for a long time still feel like they struggle. Just because something bad happened to you, it does not mean that you are doomed to those responses for the rest of your life. Just because your parents were not as supportive as you needed them to be, that is not an excuse to be unloving and unsupportive to the people in your own life. Is it going to be more difficult? Yes. But that doesn't give you an excuse for poor nurturing behavior in others. Here's the other thing. Nurturing doesn't end when someone leaves the home. Nurturing also happens socially, how we reinforce behaviors, how we can be overly critical or coddle people's emotions. See, nurturing, especially in the modern era, doesn't just come from parents and peers. It also comes from media and the internet. What do you expect people to do if they get a certain amount of influence from, let's say, an online community? If they get overwhelmed with the amount of nurture in that, they might come to assume that it's actually nature. Because if all of these people are saying the same thing, surely it's true. Sometimes we can over-nurture people in a really, really bad way. Let's take, for instance, something like college campuses. Now, these things aren't always a bastion of good decisions, and that's actually where I'm going with this. I've worked with addicts of all kinds, and many of them will say, especially around alcoholism, they'll say, well, I didn't know I was an alcoholic until I graduated. It must have been after I graduated that I really had a problem with alcoholism. And then we go back and look at their history in college, and it becomes very apparent that, well, they were an alcoholic the whole time. It was just socially acceptable. Now, were they nurtured into alcoholism? No, but it was especially reinforced. So these people were nurtured in their childhood for unhealthy behaviors and coping skills. They were then nurtured in college to continue these to an insane degree. And then they come out of college wondering, my goodness, when did the addiction happen? Well, see, here's the thing. They were nurtured over all of those years toward specific behavior. They weren't born that way, but they were nurtured that way. Here's some other ways nurturing can be a harmful thing. I've worked, again, with a whole bunch of different kinds of people, and there's a subgroup of clients with this idea of failure to launch, where they can be physically capable of being independent and on their own, but emotionally they seem not able. And a lot of times that comes from parental insight or involvement. What do you think a kid's going to do if all their lives they're told they have to stay home and have to do things? They're going to start to assume that they're incapable. They might just assume that's just how they are, again, against the whole nature thing. But that nurturing can actually create this idea and can embed it so deeply that now, when that person attempts to become independent, they're lost. They've been reinforced in the learned helplessness. And then they come to therapy saying, I don't know if I can ever be independent. Dude, you're 24 years old. Your legs work. Your hands work. There are plenty of jobs. You are not lost. You just need to be empowered. So when we look at people around us, we have to consider how we're nurturing them, how we're nurturing each other, how people are nurturing us. if nature is something that's embedded, something that we're given at birth, then what do we expect from there? The thing that I often joke about in terms of nature versus nurture with myself is, you know, I will never, ever be an astronaut. Now, somebody out there might say, well, goodness, Travis, you can be anything you want as long as you put your mind to it. Well, that's a total lie. I can't be an astronaut, not because I'm bad at math or science or anything else. I'm just too tall. I don't fit in the cockpit. That's a nature thing. That has nothing to do with how well or terribly I was nurtured. So sorry. You're not able to do whatever you want to do. Sometimes nature gives us the ability or it inhibits us from doing things. So let's think about what we do with all of this, because quite honestly, it feels like I've lit a whole bunch of fires everywhere and walked away. I want you to consider your own life. Look at the things that you assumed were inherently put in you. What if they're not? What if those things that you really thought were a core aspect of your character actually were something that you just experienced for a long time? What if the things that you thought were core identities were actually unhelpful behaviors that were taught to you in your childhood? And since our memories aren't perfect, in fact, they're far from perfect, we can assume that since we felt something from 5 years old, it must have been in us the whole time. But let's also go to the nurture thing. Maybe if you were loved well enough, you wouldn't struggle with this one thing. Well, that's also a problem, because guess what? Sometimes people just struggle with things. I haven't really talked a whole lot about my own mental health in this, but there are things that I thought that maybe if I could nurture in myself, I wouldn't struggle with them anymore. And gosh darn it, I've done every kind of therapy I could think of. I've tried every sort of dynamic and support I could get, and I still have this issue. And now, can I sit here and say, well, I've experienced for as long as I can remember, so it must have been no. But I have to treat the nurture as if there's some nature involved. Is that true in everything? No, but when it comes to neurological wiring, sometimes that's the case. Some of the other things that people deal with, maybe there are these core parts that are nature, but are highly supported by nurture. Sometimes people might have a small dose of anxiety baked into their brain. Sometimes their neurochemicals are not as present as they really should be. They could go their entire life with minimal anxiety, with very little medication or therapy, just helpful family support and guidance. But let's say there was that same kid, but in a completely different family and cultural dynamic, and instead of it just being a small amount of anxiety, through family reinforcement and outside influence, all of a sudden they have full-blown panic attacks. So which part of that was nature and which part of that was nurture? In reality, looking at it now, it's hard to tell the difference. It can be difficult to pull out what is and what isn't true about how we're wired. Here's the guidance I would give you. First off, don't assume that everything is always one or the other. I think we get into a ton of trouble with that. Are there parts of ourselves that are nature that will obviously impact the way that we interact in the world around us? Yes, of course there are. There are things that we cannot change. Things like skin color. That's not going to change. I mean, you could do external things to try to change it, but for most of the people in the world, this is just how it is. The way that your body is shaped. Now, that can be a lot of nature, but also nurture makes a difference. We know something like malnourishment can drastically affect someone's body shape and size. Doesn't mean they were born that way, but they took those building blocks and they influenced them. And that's where I think a lot of this stuff comes from. When people say, I have this problem, it's just the way I am, what they really should be saying is, there was this little problem or deficiency that blew up into something rather grand. Now, is everybody going to say that? No. But I think both us as people and as a culture, we really need to reevaluate this. Are we really born this certain way? Are we really that tabula rasa where there's a completely blank slate? Or maybe there's a mix. And remember, if there is a mix, a lot of people have some answering to do about their certain behaviors. You don't really struggle with relationships because the way you were born. You can pick any disorder in the world, and I can teach you how you can learn to have healthy relationships. You might not be perfect. They might not be everything that someone assumes they would be, but they'll be good. It has nothing to do with the way you were born. And so for anybody listening today, I'd hope that you start to think back and consider, what is born into you? What is something that has been trained in you? Or what is something that has been supported in you? If there are certain things in your life that are big, that are small, look at them critically. Because when we start to confuse the two, we can start to become a danger to ourselves and even other people. If we tell other people it's just the way that they are, it can be an excuse for poor or even dangerous behavior, and that's not something I can support. Thank you for listening today. I hope you got something that was useful to you that could help you think about yourself or the world around you in a slightly different way, or even a really big way. If you feel the need, you can leave something as a tip to pay for the production costs of this podcast. If not, I hope you subscribe and share this episode with those around you so they can also gain something that could improve their own lives.